The following audio is used by permission from the University of Steubenville. For more, visit bookstore.franciscan.edu or call 1-888-333-0481.
Let's welcome Damian Sting. We pray like we mean it. Bless our brother this night as he leads us, as he preaches to us, that his words would find a home in our heart and in our minds, and you would use them to transform us. Father, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon him and upon us. We are reminded that you do not ration your Spirit. We pray for a full outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us this night, that you would come in power through Damian and come to us. And we make this prayer in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As we've been doing over the conference, let's pray. Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that what we hear and see this evening will change the way we think, the way we believe, and the way we live out our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Why are you here tonight? Do you know? Tell your neighbor why you're here tonight. Why are you here this evening? Let me tell you why I'm here tonight. I'm here tonight to proclaim, celebrate, and demonstrate in God's power that Jesus is alive. Now, you know that phrase, Jesus is alive, it kind of captures the whole of the gospel. Because if Jesus isn't alive, well, you know, as Paul says, we're the most to be pitied. But because he is alive, we're the luckiest, blessed people on the planet, on the face of the earth. I just want to find out if there's any Christians in here, okay? So I'm going to break you up into groups. We're going to have this group here, you're group one, and you guys there, yeah, you're group one, you two blocks here, you're group two, and you guys over there with the worship ministry, you're group three. That includes the guys at the back. Throwing down the gauntlet already. Right. Now, I told them in the school about the name of Jesus. When we say the name of Jesus, the catechism tells us that he becomes present. Jesus' name is unique. When you say his name with faith, he is made present. And you know who is made absent? The devils hate the name of Jesus. Yeah, we're coming to that. You're stealing my lines. So I am going to say Jesus is alive, okay? And when you say that, know that the fact that you are saying that is the assurance of your salvation. To be able to say that and believe that is the greatest miracle. It's greater than any miracle that's going to happen this evening. And some miracles are going to happen this evening. So Jesus is alive, that I can say that. Praise be Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm going to say that, and you're going to stand up and say, Jesus is alive. Okay? Now, that's my wife prompting me. Just overlook that, you know. I normally work from behind. It's normally my wife, isn't it? Our wives, isn't it, gentlemen? Yeah. When we speak that name, when we pronounce that truth, we are saying something urgent, something incredibly important. Now, if my child, supposing Miriam or John, who's doing some filming, if they were running out on the road when they were little children, I wouldn't have said, mind the cars. Mind the cars! Okay? When we are speaking this, we're proclaiming something the whole world must hear. And we're only kind of practicing in here to do it out there. Okay? We're not just having a nice happy time in here. We're limbering up for the proclamation out there. Are you with me? Are you really happy about that? Oh, well, yeah, okay, fine. Okay, so I'm going to point to you, and then you're going to stand and proclaim Jesus is alive like you mean it as you do. Jesus is alive!
Jesus is alive!
Can you do better than that? Good too. Can you do better than that? Right. Jesus is alive! No. Were you better than them? Yeah. But not as humble. Right, okay. Jesus is alive! Is alive. Okay, you convinced me. Jesus is alive. Now, this is going to be a short talk because, by my standards, you'll be glad to hear, this is a short talk because this is a night of divine action. Now, Pope Benedict has said, the word of God, which we'll be proclaiming and will be on my lips, isn't that unbelievable? Coming into your ears, the word that upholds the universe, creates and destroys. That very word that gives life is going to be in our midst. And Pope Benedict says this, the word of God is living, it is eternal, all-powerful, a creative force. A creative force in our midst. Now, we're going to watch part of a film. And when you watch this film, I want you to, it's filmed from our ministry, well, the Lord's ministry through us around the world. Now, you're going to see things on this film that you may not believe. Many of these people on these films, we've seen them later, they're still walking, their cancer is still gone, and so on. So, it's going to start with a clip in Africa. It's a large crowd. If you're wondering why they're all waving their hands, it's because I've just asked them how many people, we've just had a miracle service like this, and I'm asking them how many people were physically healed tonight and can feel the change, have felt the change in their body. Now, when we first saw that, we didn't believe it. We didn't believe it. We didn't believe God could do it. We thought they must have misunderstood the question. So we ran a healing service the next day, a smaller one, for just 300 people in the middle of the day. And I thought, right, I'm getting to the bottom of this. So we prayed for the people, 200 of them were healed. You see, in Africa, the statistics say 90% of Africans have something wrong with their body. Okay, that's the statistic, right? So 200 out of the 300 were healed. So I said, right, healing of eyes, that corner, healing of ears, that corner, healing of legs, that corner, healing of cancer and tumors, that corner, and healing of other things over there. And then my team interviewed every single one of those 200 people, and every one of them had had a genuine healing. So we went back to the car, me and my colleagues, and we repented to God that we didn't believe he could heal thousands of people in an evening. God is upping, if you can say this about God, God is upping his game. God is upping his game. We are coming into a whole, really, we're crossing over into a whole new season, a season of greater battles, but greater victories. My life is not to be, as I said before, the Catholic Benny Hinn. That's not the thing. My life is a prophetic call, primarily to other Catholics, to step into their supernatural inheritance for the glory of God and the confirmation of the gospel, to exalt Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want you to watch this and just open yourself up in faith for what you're about to see. So we're going to have 5 minutes now, and then we're going to have 5 minutes later at the end of the preaching. There's a song at the end, and we will, the worship team, will join in with that, and then we will go straight with the singing of that song into the miracle time, okay? The healing time. So are you ready? Okay. So, Lord, give us revelation and build up our faith for the wonderful things you're going to do tonight. Amen. We did test this earlier. It's just to build up the excitement, you know, get you thinking, oh, I want to see this film. Let's pray while we're waiting. Let's just finish that. Okay, let's just pause up there. Can we have the lights? Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Who is here only this evening? Who's just arrived this evening? Let's see all your hands, please. You are so welcome. I'm going to repeat some things I said earlier today because I want you to hear them, and I'm sure everybody else hasn't perfectly integrated into their life of faith yet, so we'll repeat them, okay? I hope you won't mind. Here's a couple of quotes from the Catholic Catechism on faith. Faith is certain. It is more certain than all human knowledge because it is founded upon the very... the Word of God. It is right and just to entrust oneself wholly to God and to believe absolutely what He says. Absolutely what He says. God has made amazing promises to us. Just amazing promises. So I'm going to just read you some of these promises. It's just hear this. This is the promise of the Word of God, the living one, to you and to me. John 14:12. Anyone who believes in me will perform the same works. Miracles, that includes. The scholars tell us, look it up in your Bible commentaries. Miracles, as I do myself. You're going to be part of this ministry tonight. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, but you're going to be the hands of Jesus. I can't put my hands on everybody, and He wants to use you in any case. You are going to be the hands of Jesus. You're going to be part of this ministry tonight. Matthew 21:22. Whatever you ask for in faith, you will receive. Whatever you ask for with faith, you will receive. Matthew 9:23. All what? What? All things. Can you say that back to me? All. Oh, well, now, what does all mean?
Everything.
They mean sort of some things on particular days. On Thursday afternoon, if the Lord's in a good mood. No, all things are possible for they that believe. And we are here by the grace of God believing this evening. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Mark 16:17, these are the signs that might follow some believers occasionally if I'm in a good mood. No, it doesn't say that. These are the signs that will follow believers in my name. They will lay hands on the sick who will recover. Who will recover. Who will recover. I just want to drive that home. Who will recover. Right. Thank you very much. Mark 11:22. If you say to this mountain. This is after Jesus has cursed the fig tree. And the apostles are so astounded because he speaks to this fig tree, curses it, it shrivels up and dies. And Jesus says, believe in God. If you say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and you believe it will be done for you, and if you believe, it will be done for you. We've seen so many people with cancers healed through a word. We speak to the cancers and we curse those cancers in Jesus' name. They shrivel up and die. People say to us, they just vanish. Just the other day, I told some of you here, we had a woman with 12 cancerous tumors. This is just a week before we came to America. 12 cancerous tumors, and she had a scan the night before. There they were, one the size of a golf ball on her hand. Instantly after the prayer, that was gone. Next day, scan all gone. Now, that is not an isolated incident. We've had people with cancers like that, and they said to us, it went down like that as you prayed. It just disappeared. That was that. That was that. The power of the word. Jesus is not making this up. He knows what he's talking about. He puts his very word on our lips. It is just incredible that we don't kind of disintegrate. The power that upholds the universe on our lips, coming into our lives and our bodies. If you say, and tonight I'm going to speak to your bodies, and you see your bodies, every created thing has been programmed to resonate to the word of God. The whole of creation is waiting for the Christians to speak in faith. Because we hold the destiny of creation in our hands. The whole of creation is longing and yearning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. And we speak God's word into these situations. And I will speak to your bodies. And though your body, your cancer has no ears, the storm had no ears, the fig tree had no ears, but they will hear the word of the Lord, and it will have authority over sickness. And many of you, I'm expecting a couple of hundred of you tonight, will be healed. Will be healed. And I'm under no pressure. I'm under no pressure. There are promises in here. God is under pressure. But, you know, he copes with pressure fairly well, so that's not a problem. We will speak. It's not because Damien Stain's anything, but because the promises to Damien Stain and every other believer are something. Are something. God has meant what he has said. And we're here believing that, aren't we? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. I said to you today, John the 23rd got the whole church to pray that this would be an era of wonders. Lord, renew your wonders in this our day. Your wonders, not like, you know, might have a slight, you know, better headache. You know, my headache might kind of go away. Wonders. Wonders are like big stuff. Yeah, bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. That's really what the Pope was saying. You know, that's it in the vernacular, isn't it? Holy Spirit, bring it on. But I don't expect if he sent that round, people would have picked it up. Renew your wonders. Right, I want you to say to your neighbor, this is an era of wonders. Right, speak to your neighbor. This is a day of wonders.
This is a day of wonders.
Now, look at them again and say, this is a night of wonders.
This is a night of wonders.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You know, Plato said, I'm just doing this to look slightly more intellectual now. I've been extremely bold. Plato said, the body is the tomb of the soul. The body is the tomb of the soul. What does the Bible say? Your body is a
temple.
A temple. And does a priest care about the condition of his temple?
Yes.
He sure does. Who is our priest?
Jesus,
our great high priest. You are his temple. Your body matters to him. Your body matters to God. Your body matters to God. It's not something just to be cast aside and got out the way. Even all the works of penance we do, the fathers say, is for the glorification of our bodies. It's not for the destruction of them. It's for the glorification of our bodies. It's to serve our bodies with genuine spirit-filled love and let them be mastered by the Holy Spirit that they might share in the glory of Christ's own body. Don't misunderstand that. Your bodies matter to God. The church released a document, I think around 2000, maybe 2001, on the healing ministry. And I just want to, in the Catholic Church, I just want to read you just one or two sentences. This is from section 2, paragraph 3. It is praiseworthy for individual members of the faithful to ask for healing for themselves and for others. The Vatican would praise us and praises us for what we're doing here this evening. You know, this is something that the church utterly affirms. Section 4, paragraph 1. The fathers of the church considered it normal that believers would ask God not only for the health of their soul, but also for that of their body. St. Paul says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Put your hand up. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Now, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, was that kind of big power? Or was that kind of, you know, little power? Huge power! That was a greater power than the power that started the beginning of all creation. That was greater than when the Father said, let there be light. This is the beginning of the new creation, even greater than what we saw in Eden, the raising of Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, the new Adam. And that body, it was a mess, wasn't it? I mean, you've seen the Passion. The shroud, the body on the shroud was in much more of a mess than what you saw in the Passion. You know, a wreck. And like that, that body was raised in glory, not just healed completely. It was healed completely. Jesus had a perfect flesh body that could eat food, but also pass through the wall. Wasn't it interesting? When Jesus ate that fish and he walked through the wall, the fish wasn't left on the wall. Because what is taken into Christ shares his nature. Because what is taken into Christ shares his nature. Have you been taken into Christ by your baptism? Yes. Amen. You share his supernatural nature. His supernatural nature. 33,000 people on film physically healed in 5 years. That's a lot of people. God just hasn't started. What is that to God? We're not even seeing them all healed. That was, you know, again and again happening in the New Testament. That happened with Paul and it happened with Peter. They were all healed. And we read that of Jesus, of course. And maybe some of you have come and, you know, you've been to lots of healing services before with big names and you weren't healed. Let me tell you a story. In the book of Acts, Peter and John are coming up to the temple one day and they see a beggar. And the scripture says that he was laid at the beautiful gate every day. Now, this is the one who was healed through their ministry. Now, what's going on with that? That man, young man, was brought up every day. That means just a few months earlier, he was being brought up when the scripture says that Jesus was in the temple healing the blind and the lame. Now imagine the situation. He's sitting outside. He knows the other beggars around, the other blind and lame beggars. He knows them. He's seen them. And news starts trickling out of the temple that these marvelous miracles are happening. And, you know, one or two of them come out. Hey, look, whoa! And he starts getting up. His faith starts getting up. He starts thinking, this is my day. Oh, yes, this is going to be my day. And out comes Jesus. He's just healed all these blind and these lame, and they're coming out, and Jesus comes down, and there he is, you know, where that lectern is. And Jesus is coming along, and he's sitting there, and he's thinking, yes, yes, hear me. Hi, Lord, I'm ready. And Jesus walks along, and he looks at him, and he looks back at Jesus. Jesus looks at him, he looks back at Jesus, and Jesus walks past. Can you imagine what he was thinking? No, me. How do you think that man felt after that? The greatest wonder worker in the history of the people of Israel has passed me by. And some of you have felt like that. You feel that Jesus passed you by. He is doing great things all around you with others, and Jesus passed you by. But you see, when Jesus passed that man by, he was saying to himself, not today, son. I'm saving you up for the book of Acts. And you see, many of you, the Lord has been saving you up for this day. This day. The Lord has been saving you up for this day. Who had a more greater miracle ministry? Jesus or Peter and John? Jesus. But God has his timing. You might have been in ministries with people you think are much more anointed than me. That is of no consequence to God. If God is saving you up for today, this will be your day. This will be your day. The Lord has his own timing. Praise God for the gift of faith. Praise God for the gift of faith. In Exodus and the book of Joshua, we read about the long journey of God's people from slavery under Moses and to the taking of the promised land by Joshua. A very interesting thing for us to look at there. On the banks of the Jordan, they could see the promise. Now they entered that promise. We got promises, I've been saying them to you. They entered that promise because they believed that God would fulfill them in their generation. Now they believed two things. They believed God would give them the whole of the promised land, but they also believed that the Lord was going to give them the parting of the water and Jericho in the next few days. They believed that. Now, is there anybody here who wears bifocals? Anybody here wears bifocals? Yeah. Mark, you come up. You're used to coming up. Come up and tell us. Thanks. Don't want to embarrass you if you don't want to come up. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Mark, can you tell us, what do your bifocals do? What is it they enable you to do?
They enable me to read small print.
Yep. And?
See distance.
Can I borrow them a minute?
Sure.
Now, they enable you to see up close and see at a distance. How many of you believing that you will be resurrected from the dead with a glorious, perfect body on the last day? How many of you believing that? Hallelujah! Look at that faith! Incredible! Incredible! We are used to believing for the miracle of that in our bodies. But listen, brothers and sisters, we've been given bifocular faith. Not just for distance faith, but faith for our healing today. Faith for miracles today. Up close, as well as far away. Okay? Thanks very much, Mark. Okay, good. And we just need to learn to use those spiritual lenses to look, bring that faith that we have for the future into today. Just focus for today. Now, faith today, as I told you, is an act. So when we're praying with each other, we're not going on what we're feeling. We are acting in obedience to the promises of the living God. The promises of the living God. Now, there are a couple of things that can block God's healing. Not always, but occasionally. Not always, but occasionally. And they are sin and unforgiveness. And so we're going to spend a moment or two letting God do some business with us just to fill in the valleys and lay low the mountains to prepare the way of the Lord. Okay? So what I'd like you to do, first we're going to forgive, and then we're going to ask for mercy. You get more mercy if you forgive first. if you want to be forgiven, forgive. So let's forgive first. Would like you to close your eyes, please. We had a woman once came to one of our services. She hadn't spoken to her sister for 40 years. 40 years. They'd fallen out. She hadn't spoken to her for 40 years. She didn't even know where she lived. And when we prayed this prayer, she forgave her sister. 5 minutes later, she got out of her wheelchair. She then went and found her sister, tracked her down, which she walked through the door. Her sister turned, threw herself upon her, and 40 years of hatred disappeared in an instant. They were instantly and completely reconciled. God can do something extraordinary in this prayer, if you will forgive. Now, we don't consider whether people deserve it or not. They probably don't, but listen, we don't deserve it either. Okay? Forgiveness is not so much a feeling. Don't worry if you don't feel it. It's a decision. The feelings can come later. So just pray with me if you can. We'll just have a moment and we'll ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please show us, Lord, if there's anyone in my life who I need to forgive. And don't worry if it's someone you've tried to forgive in the past. Whoever the Lord shows you now. Forgiveness is a journey. It may be that you just need to forgive at another level today. It may be something entirely new. It may be a big thing or a small thing. Let the Holy Spirit show you. Who is there who you need to forgive? Okay. Now, if you can, I'd like you to pray this with me. In the power of Jesus. I forgive this person for their sins against me or those I love. And I pray that they be released from any negative consequences of these sins. That they be blessed in every way and prosper in God's love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. For some of you, that's going to be the most important thing that happens to you tonight. You see, to forgive is to act like God. It's a divine action to forgive. It's a miracle. Forgiveness is a miracle. Well done. Thank you. Now, the next thing is sin. Now, you know, most people don't have enormous sins, so-called. Most of us aren't living in a kind of day-to-day experience of mortal sin. Some of us, maybe. What most of us get caught on is sins that I describe as sins under negotiation. You know, those kind of grey area sins. You know, that maybe the church has not been absolutely specific about in the catechism. Or the scripture doesn't quite nail down. You know, or we say to ourselves, yeah, but my situation is exceptional. You know, and God kind of understands. God does understand better than you do. You see, the problem with these sins is they do us so much harm because we don't repent of them. Because really we're negotiating about them. Now that's really, really dangerous. You know, we can be utterly confident even with the most grotesque sins in our life if we sincerely repent. But if we've got sins rattling around in our lives that we're just not dealing with, they can do us much more harm, in fact. And there's a lot of very good people whose spiritual lives are not ascending to the next level because, as John of the Cross says, you know, one thread can prevent a bird flying. One thread. And you know, we need to just look at that. What are the threads that have been holding me back? You know, maybe you have got some real serious sins to repent of as well. That's fine. Wonderful. God's grace and mercy is just waiting for you with open arms. So let's just bow our heads, shall we? Listen, when you're dealing with sin, I want to say this to you. If in doubt, throw it out. If in doubt, throw it out. Let's just close our eyes and just ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, show me. Is there something, Lord, that I need to repent to you for today? Some of you, you've even given up repenting because you just think, well, I just keep doing it. I'm not sincere. Listen, just repent for today. Deal with tomorrow, tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Don't haggle. If in doubt, chuck it out. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, cleanse me of these sins. Purify me in your precious blood. Lord, remove from me all appetite for sin. Give me the virtue I need in these areas. Fill me with your sanctifying grace and light. Lord of mercy. Christ of mercy. Lord of mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, you look better already. You look better already. God is beautiful. God is beautiful. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're ready. Now some of you, you may need to go to confession if that was something very serious, you know, or something habitual. Go to confession, you know, to gain greater strength, you know, to fight that. And also the reconciliation with the whole church would be an excellent thing to do. Okay? When you can. That'll be marvelous. Now we're ready. Are you ready? We're going to watch the second half of the film and then we're just going to go straight into the ministry. Okay? And I want you to understand this. When I am praying the prayer of faith, I want you to hear with faith and believe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, this is my wife. This is my wife. Thank you. She's the other half of my brain. The better half of my brain. She just said, the half? So, Jim, let's have the other half of the film. Let's just open our hearts. Let's see this. Let's watch in faith. Lord, we thank you for these beautiful things that you've done and we've been privileged to see in our day. My treasure.